when you share, you recognize God in your brother. And all of the food, all of the resources of the world belong to everyone. And they don't belong to people who can afford to buy the food. They belong to everyone by divine right. And they're not for the use and misuse by a few who can afford them. The voice of the people is most certainly getting stronger, louder around the world. We see it all the time, and we report on it regularly in Share International magazine. Each month we have a section of the magazine called The Voice of the People, and it's devoted entirely to protests and rallies and marches that are happening throughout the world for various causes.
Hello, everyone. With our focus today on Share International magazine, I have to admit that it's probably my favorite magazine. And I haven't been willing to part with a single issue. I think I've held on to all of them since my subscription began in 2002. It's got everything topical to today's news. Inspiring and insightful articles on a whole plethora of subjects. And no ads. Let me give you an example. I've got here the March 2023 issue, and there is a marvelous article about achieving peace and the ending of the malfeasance of corporate greed. Another on meditation, which is very topical because it's part of a discussion in our episode today. And every month there is mesmerizing color pictures of UFO sightings around the globe, which are increasing in number. And my personal favorite, in the back, a Q&A with author, esotericist, and artist Benjamin Krem, the original editor of Share International magazine. So Tell me, what other news source reports on the rise of people power, environmental issues, the economy, and the spiritual roots of an imminent shift in human consciousness? In this episode, the co-host of our former audio podcast, Diana Gold Holland, talks with Monty Leach, the U.S. editor of Share International magazine, and they'll outline why you'll want to find out for yourself why Share International magazine is a news outlet like no other. Monty explains how and why he became a champion of and writer for Share International magazine. So let's listen to Diana and Monty break it down for us.
Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of Share International Radio. This is your co-host, Diana Gold Holland, broadcasting from Vancouver in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. For this week's show, let's start with a bit of background. I've been a volunteer correspondent for Share International magazine since its inception in 1982. The magazine is produced 10 times a year under chief editor Benjamin Krem in London, England. There are abridged versions in 5 languages, and the publication is read in over 70 countries.
And since Mr. Krem's passing in 2016, the new chief editor of Share International is Felicity Elliott.
The amazing thing about Share International is that it carries no advertising and is produced 100% by volunteers. Only the printer gets paid. And yet the magazine is still going strong over 30 years later. You can subscribe to it at a modest cost, and you can check out the monthly abridgment free on the website www.share-international.org. That's www.share-international.org. My guest today is Monty Leach, the U.S. editor of Share International, who's based in San Francisco. He, too, has long been involved in Share International endeavors. Please join me in welcoming my good friend and colleague, Monty Leach. Hi, Monty.
Hey, Diana. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for being on the show.
Well, thank you Thank you for inviting me to be on the show.
Absolutely. So Monty, let's start with a little bit about your background and how you got involved in the work you're doing now.
Well, it was way back in 1981 when I got started, when I was a mere lad. And it actually got started in a bookstore in Berkeley, California. And I came across a book called The Reappearance of the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom. And the author was Benjamin Krem. Now, the title of the book really didn't interest me that much, as I wasn't, and I'm really still not, a very religious person, but I was somehow really drawn to the book. And as I read through it, I was really amazed at its content, because it combined two areas that were really keen interests of mine. One was the spiritual or metaphysical, and the other were the issues of economic and social justice. Now, at the time, I had a really strong interest in so-called metaphysical or spiritual teachings of various types. And I'd also been interested and involved with social and economic justice issues, including the problems of global hunger and poverty. So finding a book that not only contained what I considered to be really profound spiritual wisdom, but one that grounded that wisdom in practical humanitarian needs of humanity, that really had a big impact on me.
Yeah, I'm sure you know, Monty, that a lot of our listeners will be very much in line with that thought process and even that experience of having a book drop off the shelf, for example.
I mean, it practically did, and I almost couldn't put it down. And so when I began reading it, I found out things that I never knew before, like the existence of the Masters of Wisdom, for example, a group of enlightened spiritual teachers who have lived in the remote mountains and the deserts of the world for countless millennia, who have helped and protected and inspired humanity, really overseeing the evolution, the progress of humanity from behind the scenes. All this unknown to most people. And that made so much sense to me, because I just figured that we would not be just left to fend for ourselves and somehow struggle forward as humanity, that we have help, and that we have always had help of a spiritual kind throughout history to guide us forward. So that to begin with made a lot of sense to me. And also found out from this book that at the center of this group of enlightened teachers is the most senior member of this group of Masters of Wisdom, the master of all the masters, the world teacher, whose name is Maitreya. Maitreya is not a religious teacher or leader, and that he's not here to found a new religion. And he fulfills the expectations of the various religious groups for their awaited teacher, whether the Christians wait for the Christ and the Jews the Messiah and the Buddhists wait for Maitreya Buddha. And all the religions await the coming or the return of their teacher. But Maitreya comes for all people, religious and non-religious alike. And his central concern, which was, you know, really important to me to read about, that his central concern was not religious. It was really to help us rid the world of hunger and poverty and war, and really to show us how to live together in peace so that we don't destroy the world. And the interesting thing is the Masters of Wisdom were actually written about in the late 1800s by a woman named Helena Blavatsky, who founded the Theosophical Society and lived and worked with a group of these masters for 3 years in the Himalayas. And she wrote several books about the teachings of these great Masters of Wisdom. And then some years later, between 1919 and 1949, an English woman named Alice Bailey presented to the world more of the teachings of the Masters of Wisdom through a series of books that were dictated to her by one of the masters. And interestingly, one of these books by Alice Bailey, who was dictated to her, which was dictated to her by one of the masters. It was called The Reappearance of the Christ, and it was published in 1948, and it said that the masters and the head and leader of the group of masters would return to the everyday world sometime after the year 1975. So the book I was reading, which was published in 1980, called The Reappearance of the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom, was written by Benjamin Krem, who described in the book his direct training over the course of many years by a Master of Wisdom. And Benjamin Krem was actually confirming in the book that indeed, as had been predicted by in the Alice Bailey book in 1948, that the Masters of Wisdom and their head and leader Maitreya, the world teacher, were emerging into the everyday world at this very critical time for humanity to live, to work among us, and to inspire us and teach us directly.
So this is right in line with those writings that go back to the late 1800s, as I recall.
Exactly. This is the work of Benjamin Krem in making this information known to the world, really is part of a tradition, you know, a long tradition that goes back, like you were saying, back to the 1880s, that when we first found out publicly about the existence of these great teachers.
Okay, so Monty, let's tell us, though, why are they returning at this time?
Well, at this point, one thing I did want to mention that, if I do have time, a couple of things that really impressed me about the book, and I'll get to your question in just a couple of minutes, but
sure.
The book had a very strong impact on me. And one of the reasons was that someone like me, who was non-religious, though a spiritual seeker and someone working on social and economic justice issues, I was really profoundly moved by this book. And it had a profound impact on me, as did hearing Benjamin Krem speak for the first time.
What was that like?
It really confirmed the wisdom of what I'd read in his book, but it was having a direct experience of that, hearing that in person, you know, was very, you know, very powerful experience for me. And after that, I began working with the local Share International group of volunteers. As you mentioned, we're all volunteers. It was part of an international network of groups and who make known the information. And then a little bit later on, I began writing for Share International magazine, and as I had some experience as a journalist. And then several years later, I became U.S. editor of Share International, still a volunteer. As you mentioned, we're all volunteers. And even Benjamin Krem is a volunteer after all these many years. So that's kind of, you know, in a not so small a nutshell, you know, kind of how I became involved and why I became involved and why this really, you know, means and meant, you know, so much to me and had such an impact on my life.
Okay, let me mention the publication again and the website, www.share-international.org, where you can read the abridged version of the magazine. You're going to speak with us about what Maitreya's teachings are and his concerns as he emerges more and more onto the world stage.
Maitreya has said those who look for him as a religious teacher will not recognize him, actually, that he says he is an educator. He comes as an educator in the broadest sense of that word. He really comes, I think, as I mentioned before, he comes to show us how to live together in peace, he says. And he says the key to doing that is sharing.
Okay, so what is this sharing, and why do we need it?
Well, if we look at the world today, what do we see? We see about 20% of the world's population, mainly those of us living in the developed world, using and wasting 80% of the world's food and resources, according to the UN. So that leaves about 80% of the world's population, mainly those in the developing world, having to make do with less than 20% of the world's food and resources. So as a result, more than 20,000 people, mainly children, are dying every day from hunger-related causes. And these are deaths that could easily be prevented because the world produces more than enough food for everyone, about 10% per capita surplus of food. And so while the number of poor and sick and hungry people are increasing, so are the number of very wealthy people increasing. And this growing divide between the wealthy and the poor threatens us all. It's not just a humanitarian issue, although it's a profound, profound humanitarian issue. It's even more than that, because so many of our critical problems that we're facing in the world are caused, at least in part, by the fact that so many of our brothers and sisters around the world lack the basic necessities of life and lack even the hope of obtaining these necessities. So given this situation, no wonder we see these increases in social unrest and civil war around the world, the massive migration of people around the world that we're seeing, the rise of fanatical terrorist groups. Those living in poverty, those who are desperate, who have no hope, are more likely to be drawn into these terrorist groups. And even one of our most serious problems, environmental degradation, is related to this economic divide, because the richest of us, the most wealthy of us, use and waste a majority of the resources, cause a great deal of global warming, but it's also the poorest of the poor around the world who often have little choice but to use not very environmentally sound ways to survive, just to survive, to cook their food, to heat their living structures, whatever those are, and by cutting down trees and so on. So unless we address this fundamental economic injustice, the world's poor getting poorer, the world's rich getting richer, all these problems that I mentioned, civil war and mass migrations of people and conflict, all these problems and terrorism will worsen and threaten the very future of the planet. So basically, in sum, what I'm saying is that we can't continue on as we are, or we will eventually destroy ourselves. So in addition to humanitarian concerns, that's why we need to share the food and the resources of the world more equitably, as Maitreya suggests we do.
And certainly that would be easy enough to do if there were the political and the human will to do that.
Absolutely. That's what it will take.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, it's pretty sobering when we watch our television screens these days and see these floods of humanity. You know, there but for God go I. You, I, and a lot of people that are living paycheck to paycheck, even in a rich country like the United States, can very easily relate to the stress and the strain of not being able to have those basic needs fulfilled.
It's true. I mean, we are all really, in essence, brothers and sisters of one humanity. And that's what Maitreya says too. And that the reason really why we allow these things to happen, the poor getting poorer, the hungry around the world, this mass migration of people, like you were saying, we have the ability to remedy these problems. We just need the will to do it. But because we don't see each other as one family, as part of one big human family, we basically allow these horrendous situations to continue and to get worse. And so Maitreya really is here to help us see each other as we really are, which is one family.
Yeah, this reminds me of the book that I found out about Maitreya through is a publication that was called Messages from Maitreya the Christ, that were given through Benjamin Krem at meetings at Friends House in London in the early days of Maitreya's emergence. And at that point, one of these messages that deeply, deeply struck a chord in me was one that was given on September 12, 1979, in which Maitreya said, "My coming evokes in man a desire for change, a desire for betterment, however expressed. My energies engender in man divine discontent. All that is useless in our structures must go. There are many such which are unworthy of man today. Man is an emerging God and thus requires the formation of modes of living which will allow this God to flourish." And I thought that was a very profound message, that we see ourselves as emerging gods. And yes. How can we do that with so many of our brothers, you know, fleeing for their lives, not being able to see their children live to the age of 2, and all of these other horrors that are going on?
Yes.
Yeah. So Maitreya must certainly have some ideas of what we should be doing about this. Can you give us some idea of what he's recommending?
Sure. Just to begin, he talks about why sharing is so important, why it's so needed in the world now, and why that's really the key to solving all of our critical global problems, and really the key to having a peaceful future for our planet. And he says, sharing is divine. When you share, you recognize God in your brother. And he will inspire us to see ourselves, as I was saying, as one family. And he will help us to see that all of the food, all of the resources of the world belong to everyone. And they don't belong to people who can afford to buy the food. They belong to everyone by divine right. And they're not for the use and misuse by a few who can afford them. And Maitreya says that if we don't share, there will never be economic and social justice in the world. And without justice, there will never be peace. And without peace, there will be no world, really, because we have weapons now of mass destruction, nuclear weapons, that can destroy the whole world. And if we have another worldwide war, those weapons would be used. But Maitreya says that that war will not take place, and that he knows that we will make the needed changes, that will accept the need for sharing, if only because we have a few other alternatives available to us. So he knows that we will make the right choice and accept the principle of sharing, but it's up to us to do that.
Yeah. And as you know, he has a crash program in mind to aid the world's poorest nations. Do you want to give us a few details on that?
Sure. Yeah. So Maitreya will recommend a reordering of economic priorities so that adequate food and housing and education and medical care become universal rights. And the immediate priority for Maitreya will be the saving of the millions of people who are starving to death in the developing world. So he will, as you were saying, he'll propose a crash program of aid on a worldwide scale to alleviate the most intense of the suffering that's going on.
And how does he see that working out?
Well, sharing, if you think about the word in the truest sense, means that everyone contributes something. It's not just the world's wealthy giving to the world's poor. Every country, even the poorest, have an excess of some resource that's needed. So all of the countries of the world will be asked to put into a common pool, common trust, that which it has in excess of its needs. And there will be a UN agency set up for just this purpose, the redistribution of the world's resources according to need, so that all of the world's nations, all the world's people have what they need to survive. But yeah. I do want to emphasize that none of these plans for sharing and the redistribution of the world's resources, none of this is going to happen without the peoples. consent. It's up to us. It's up to the world's people, to humanity, to accept this and other recommendations that Maitreya puts forward. It's really up to us, the world's people, to call on our leaders to implement these changes.
Which brings us back.
Otherwise, nothing is going to change.
Which brings us back to sharing equals justice equals peace. Monty, we had tackled some pretty heavy issues. And another one that sticks out, of course, is the environmental issue and the crises we are facing now. What are Maitreya's views on that particular issue?
Well, of course, you know, another one of his top priorities is saving, protecting, and the healing of the environment, because, as is, I think, evident to everyone, we're in a very serious environmental crisis worldwide. And the most important, the most serious aspect of this is global climate change. And on the encouraging side, I think more and more people are becoming aware of the urgency of the situation and are taking action, but still not enough action, not enough pressure is being brought to the world's political leaders, in my opinion. It's not enough to meet the dire need of the time, because according to scientific estimates, and which the Masters of Wisdom are actually in agreement with, we have only 10 years, or even actually less than 10 years, to prevent irreversible damage to the Earth and ourselves from global warming. And I just wanted to read a short quote from a Master of Wisdom that was published in Share International magazine. Every month, Benjamin Krem's master dictates an article to him, the magazine, and I just wanted to read a short quote talking about the urgency of the environmental problems that we face and how the masters see this. So this is the quote from the Master of Wisdom. If we are to save the planet from the results of global warming, we must do infinitely more than is planned to limit carbon emissions, and in a shorter period of time than is generally accepted as necessary. Humanity has been slow to recognize the dangers, and even now many refuse to take the problem seriously. Such attitudes, there's no doubt, put in jeopardy the future of planet Earth. Humanity must change dramatically the present way of life and embrace simpler forms of living and working. So this is what a Master of Wisdom has said about the environmental problem. And in addition to global warming, there's another less publicized environmental issue that I think is certainly worth mentioning here, and that is the pollution, the toxic pollution of our environment, the toxic chemicals that we release into the air, the seas, the water each day, causing untold damage to the Earth and to our own health. And actually, a recent study said that 40% of all the world's deaths are attributable to some form of pollution. That's 40%. That's an enormous number.
And that is an enormous number. I mean, we see the images on our TV of the polluted streams and the gushing, nuclear silos and all that kind of thing. But 40%, I mean, that is a huge, huge number.
It is a huge number. I mean, a fair amount of that is air pollution, smoke and fires that the very poor have to use to cook their food, and the pollution from the burning of the forests, like we're seeing in Indonesia now, that's causing a huge number of illnesses and death worldwide. And according to the masters, the worst form of pollution is actually nuclear radiation that is being released constantly from over 400 nuclear power plants that we have in operation around the world. And nuclear radiation is the worst form of pollution, according to the masters, because it not only profoundly affects human health and the environment, but it's also because our scientists don't even recognize the dangers of this radiation. they think if they can't measure the radiation, then it's not causing, or if it's at very low levels, it's not causing any problems. But according to the masters, even when these power plants are not emitting measurable amounts of radiation from a higher, more sensitive level, they're causing huge damage to the environment and to our health. And from the master's point of view, all the nuclear power plants should be shut down immediately. That is a top priority of the masters of wisdom. And Maitreya will recommend that as well.
So I'm guessing that cancer, for example, would be very much linked into this.
Yes, I mean, cancer, Alzheimer's disease. I mean, Benjamin Krem has talked about this in Share International, that one of the reasons why the incidence of Alzheimer's disease is getting more prevalent in younger people is the radiation, the impact of radiation from these nuclear power plants that our scientists don't really even have the instruments to measure at this point, but it is adversely affecting our health. And it's having an impact across the board. And some medical scientists, such as the Australian scientist Helen Caldicott, has pointed out even that this nuclear radiation is having an impact at lower levels than we even think are dangerous. Mm-hmm. So speaking from an environmental standpoint, we can't continue on as we are now as well, just as we can't continue on as we are from an economic standpoint. You know, if we don't change direction, we will destroy the planet. And that's really why Maitreya is here, living among us now, to inspire us to change direction, to share the world's food and the resources, to restore the environment so that we don't destroy ourselves, really.
Absolutely. Monty, I'd like to get back to, you know, how we mobilize. And one thing that strikes me is these images of the people now taking to the streets en masse about, you know, with climate marches and whatnot. Maitreya has talked about the power of the people and the rise in that power, which we're seeing quite dramatically. How about outlining some of that for us?
Sure. Well, the voice of the people is most certainly getting stronger, louder around the world. We see it all the time, and we report on it regularly in Share International magazine. Each month, we have a section of the magazine called The Voice of the People, and it's devoted entirely to protests and rallies and marches that are happening throughout the world for various causes. People standing up for their rights to a living wage, to enough necessities of life, to people calling for a clean environment. And all of this is a reflection of a change of consciousness of humanity. This is reflecting the fact that humanity is becoming more aware. We're becoming more aware of the problems that we have, and that it's up to us to fix the problems. It's up to us to compel our leaders, the world's leaders, to fix our problems, that we can't wait for the leaders to do it on their own. We have to force them, push them to solve these problems. And these protests that are happening around the world are an indication that humanity is waking up. With the help of Maitreya and the masters, their energies pouring into the world is stimulating this wake up of humanity. And we see this happening all around the world. One example I thought was profound example, which happened last September. It was the largest ever climate march. And we had 2,700 simultaneous climate events that took place around the world. Over a million people took to the streets, more than 156 countries around the world to demand action on climate change, on global warming. It was an amazing experience to see all this happening last year. What the governments of the world have committed to so far is not enough. It's a step in the right direction, but we need to do more. And to help push the governments to do more. There are rallies and protests planned all over the world. And a group that I think is spearheading these protests is a group called 350.org. I don't know if our listeners are aware of the group. It's 350.org, and they can find a rally or a protest march in their area coming up to call on the world leaders to do as much as they possibly can to limit global warming. So there's a glimmer of hope, but we need to keep pushing the leaders to do more.
And exactly, this is one very tangible way that people can get involved. They can vote with their feet. If this is something that's of interest to you, check out 350.org. Was that correct, Monty?
Right, it's 350.org, and headed by a fellow named Bill McKibben, who is a well-known environmentalist and activist.
And there people can find out about the local climate march happening in their towns and cities. I know that we have a very impressive rally going on that will be going on here in Vancouver. And I just want to make one point clear, and that is that all of the information you're hearing today, much of it being thought-provoking views behind the news, which is our tagline, all of this is for your consideration only. If you can relate to this information, if it has the ring of truth for you, if it arouses your curiosity, by all means, we invite you to listen in every week with us. And we'd like to discuss in this segment things that you can do as listeners to help further Maitreya's priorities and recommendations if they sound true to you. Monty, let's get into that topic. What can people do?
Sure. Well, as we were saying, one thing people could do that I'm sure most people are aware of that furthers Maitreya's priorities, which are providing people with enough food and shelter and healthcare and education in the world and the healing of our environment. Those are Maitreya's top priorities. And so anything you can do to support, to help make those things happen, you're helping Maitreya's work. And of course, one way to do that is to get involved in any kind of a nonprofit group and nonviolent action and rallies and in any way you can to support groups like 350.org and any other group you feel drawn to that are working in the environmental field, the field to help people like world hunger problems and poverty. Anything of service is helping Maitreya's to implement Maitreya's priorities. More specifically, you know, in terms of the work of Share International, another way you can help is, as listeners, is to begin by finding out more information about what we've been talking about today. And a good place to start is the Share International website, which is Share, S-H-A-R-E hyphen, international.org. And on that site, you'll find a lot of very interesting information that goes into much more depth than I could here today about what we've been talking about Maitreya's presence in the world, his priorities, what it means for the world now, and ways you can help. So I would encourage listeners who have an interest in this information to go up to the website and find out, begin to educate themselves. That's how I began in this process of work, is I started reading everything I could about this information. And it really helped me, in continuing on in this work. And, yeah. And part of this education is the magazine itself, which you'll find on the website too. At least you'll find just a brief sample of the magazine, Share International, each month. And I would also encourage readers to check out the excerpt that's on the website each month. And if they're interested, to subscribe to the magazine, because the magazine, as you were saying, Diana, it's all volunteer. There's no commercials, no ads. And it's read in more than 70 countries around the world. It's put together by volunteers all around the world.
And it's very, very high-level journalism. I mean, you really get very good and meaty information in this magazine. Of course, we do not take any ads in the magazine, which is another factor. It retains editorial, you know, creative and editorial, what do you call this?
Independence and oversight
to do what it wants. And picking up on this getting more information, Monty, I'd just like to add that I, too, started by reading everything I could get my hands on because this topic just rang so true to me. And that, of course, included reading the books of Benjamin Krem, a chief editor of Share International magazine, who is also the author of something like 16 or 17 books now on Maitreya's priorities and his emergence. That's Benjamin Krem, as in C-R-E-M-E, as in creme de la creme. And if people go to the website, share-international.org, they will find there four books by Benjamin Krem that they can download free of charge. Aside from everything that is available, of course, through your regular book supply outlets. So I want to just stress that point that you made, Monty, of getting more information and then seeing how that's working out, how you are seeing this new awareness that is spreading and how that's working out in the world.
That's what you can see in Share International. It shows how Maitreya's priorities are working out in the world, and it gives an ongoing update in terms of the public emergence of Maitreya as he emerges more publicly into the world. And it's uniquely, it has an article each month by a master of wisdom, written by a master of wisdom, dictated to Benjamin Krem. And this is unique in my experience. I don't know of any other magazine in the world that has an article written each month by a master of wisdom. It's extraordinary.
Yeah. Another segment that I really like in the magazine are the letters to the editor, where people who have had actual encounters with Maitreya or another one of the masters emerging now write in these experiences, and they are confirmed by Benjamin Krem's master. They're just the most wonderful assortment of real life experiences that happen to people and that are profoundly, profoundly inspiring. Again, something you will read nowhere else.
It's true. And one other, you know, maybe a couple other things to just, you know, suggestions is, in addition to educating oneself, if our listeners, if you feel that this, what we're talking about, has some element of truth to you, whether you believe it, you know, 5%, 10%, whatever level you think it might be true, you know, I would encourage you to share it with other people at that level that you think it might be true, and say, I heard these people on the radio talking about this really amazing story. I'm not sure if it's true, but it's really interesting, and it gave me a sense of hope. Because if you share this information at whatever level you believe it to be true, you're helping to raise the climate of hope in the world. And that's what Maitreya is encouraging us to do. Because if we know that we're not alone in the world, that we have help, that we have extraordinary spiritual help now in the world to help us solve our problems, this gives us a really stronger sense of hope for the future. And you can help do that by sharing this information with other people.
Absolutely. There are a couple of things that I would like you to speak about, Monty, simply because they're dear to my heart. Some of the inner work, the inner transformational work that people can be doing is through a practice, again, being introduced now under the directions of the Masters of Wisdom, and that is transmission meditation. Why don't you say a little bit about that, Monty?
Yes, now this is another service activity that can be done by anyone. And it's called transmission meditation, as you were saying, Diana. And it's a group meditation that was introduced to the world by Benjamin Krem's master, a master of wisdom, way back in 1974. And it's now done by groups throughout the world. And it's done as a service to humanity, which makes it somewhat different than other types of meditation, which are personal meditations that we might do, and you can still do them and still participate in transmission meditation. But this is a group meditation that's done as a service to the world, and how it's done is that the masters send their powerful spiritual energies through those who take part in the transmission meditation, and the masters send their energies out to the world wherever they are most needed at the time. And the transmission groups act as kind of electric substations, stepping down these great energies so that they're more readily usable, more readily available to humanity. And it's really these great spiritual energies that are helping to change the world for the better. They're helping to wake up humanity. We're talking about humanity waking up. Well, these energies that the masters are sending into the world and being helped with by the transmission groups around the world, these energies are helping to change the world, to raise the consciousness of humanity.
And Monty?
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt, Monty. I love it, but you know what? We're basically out of time.
Ah.
Monty, thank you, Monty. Thank you, everyone, for being here.
Well, we certainly hope that this has piqued your interest and that you'll join us in subscribing to, sharing, and celebrating this astonishing magazine, which has been in print since 1982, and we hope will remain so for decades to come. I can think of no better way to get behind and beneath the news of today and develop a broader perspective on the needed world changes, except perhaps for a regular practice of transmission meditation. Stay tuned now to experience transmission meditation as a powerful world service. And now for the treat I promised you earlier, to meditate together. As most of us are aware, our world has arrived at a moment of profound transformation. As millions call for peace and justice, many are seeking ways to help serve the world, and at the same time looking for an effective means of personal spiritual development. Transmission meditation is a way to do both. Introduced in 1974 by a master of spiritual wisdom, transmission is a group meditation that makes available the benevolent energies pouring into the planet in an ever-mounting rhythm and potency. Transmission groups worldwide receive and transform these energies sent by a group of extraordinary teachers, the Masters of Wisdom, led by Maitreya, the World Teacher. Thus stepped down, these energies can be used in the betterment of all life on Earth. This meditation also has a salutary effect on the individual participating in the meditation. It is safe, scientific, non-denominational, and will not interfere with any other religious or spiritual practice. In fact, it will just enhance them. So it's for the religious and non-religious alike. So now, just focus your attention at the chakra center between the eyebrows, called the Ajna Center, which is the center of the will. And let's read together the great invocation and meditate as long as you wish, holding your attention there when it drifts away by thinking Om silently, inwardly. The Great Invocation. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. from the point of love within the heart of God. Let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center, where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Stay with us here for a minute to see a short trailer for another interesting episode called Protesting is Our Soul's Responsibility for the Future. We have starvation throughout the world, perhaps 25,000 people dying daily on a planet with a 12% food surplus. Nobody should be going hungry. The only reason they are is a lack of political will.
Just being hopeful will not work. Time is passing. The planet is being devastated. People are going hungry. Something must happen. And in order for governments to act, I remember hearing a politician say, "Make me do it." We have to.
Visit us on Facebook at hashtag Planetary Makeover. This show has been a production of planetarymakeover.org. At our website, we have a link to our bi-weekly live show at 5 p.m. Mondays Pacific Time and 8 p.m. Eastern Time. At our website, we also have a link to our archives and a selection of our shows. For more background info, visit www.shareinternationalwest.org. That's shareinternational-west.org. For related books and DVDs and CDs by Benjamin Krem on the emergence of Maitreya the World Teacher, please go to share-ecart.com. That's share-ecart.com. We also invite you to watch another show that we really love entitled, What in the World is Happening? And that show, which you don't want to miss, is produced by Share International Canada. Please view episodes of What in the World is Happening on demand at youtube.com/@messageofhopeweekly. It will be live streaming mostly on the second Saturday of every month at the Share International Canada Facebook page.